Stop out for Men's Night at Dillon Brothers Harley-Davidson at 174th and Maple on Thursday, March 23rd from 5 to 9 p.m. Good food, cold drinks, cool prizes, and more. Visit Dillon-Brothers.com for all the details.
He's the play-by-play voice the world deserves and Omaha needs right now.
Kevin Kugler's my guest.
I haven't watched the final Batman Superman trailer that came out four times already.
Because he can take it. Because he's not a hero.
What's up, Kugler?
It's hard to explain on a radio show, and it really makes me geeky if I do.
He's a silent guardian.
Kugler.
I have no real social life. It's hard to believe I don't have many friends.
A watchful protector.
Kevin Kugler.
That's what I do with my life.
There is a lot to talk about with the play-by-play voice of the universe, but most importantly, the play-by-play voice, the lead play-by-play voice for the Big Ten Network, and there's a lot of things that this guy can speak to. Cougs, what's up, man?
What happened? Are you? Did you hear the news that that Greg McDermott now has decided to take a job outside of Omaha, but out of basketball as well?
Ah, is that what it is? Is he going to go be? He's taking over for Bob Stoops. Is that pretty much what happened?
Look, he pledged that he was looking forward to several more years with Creighton, but he didn't specifically say in what capacity.
That's true.
I believe he is going to serve as an academic advisor that roves around the country. That's kind of my theory.
He used to coach golf at Wayne State, so maybe he's just going to go be the golf coach. That could be what this whole thing is.
He could be. I mean, he spends a good proportion of his time on a golf course, so... And from what I understand, 12 months out of the year.
Yes,
so
you every day.
You can do what you want. I mean, I'm not saying that Greg McDermott doesn't spend a lot of time coaching and he spends a lot more time golfing. I'll just let you infer that I said that.
Okay, let's start all the way from square one. Let's start with Thad Matta, because this is a guy that you've been around, you've talked to. By all accounts, just an awesome guy, great coach, battled a lot of health issues. And then, unfortunately, I guess we got to call it like it is. He was fired by Ohio State earlier this week. I guess, were you surprised? How did all that land for you? Especially the timing was pretty odd.
Yeah, and the timing was what landed weird for me. Look, the fact that Thad was fired was surprising to me only from the standpoint that it didn't happen earlier, you know, when normal firings occur. And that, I mean, there's been a lot of discussion. There's been obviously some personnel situations as far as his roster goes over the last couple of years, the recruiting misses, and it's been very obvious that the health issues that Thad Matta has had have really hurt him on the recruiting trail, both from an ability to get around and from an ability to get around the rumors that other coaches are spreading about Thad Matta's ability to be around for a long time. So the fact that he's gone didn't surprise me. The timing of his departure and the departure that Ohio State basically asked him to have is what really surprised me in this instance.
Yeah.
I thought, and here's the other thing. If you are going to make a move now, you got to have the guy ready to go.
I'm stunned that they didn't have a guy locked in.
It's just so odd that you don't have somebody in place. Essentially, like, you could announce 2 days later that this is the guy, and instead you're flying back and forth to court Greg McDermott. And look, Coach McDermott, you know how I feel about him. I think he's a fantastic coach and a better guy. But you're risking everything on the hope that a guy will leave a very secure, stable job in the Big East where he is beloved and has an opportunity to, you know, have expectations that are not out of whack.
No.
That's a big gamble on the part of Gene Smith. And I'm surprised that they took it, because that's a really well-run athletic department for the most part.
I agree. And, you know, last thing on the Ohio State front, then we'll get to kind of Mac's decision. I also think the more underrated component to this is, I think Mac may view this situation different if it's in April or March than now. Like, you don't give the next coach an opportunity to flip the roster or find some immediate help right away. I mean, you know Ohio State and what they have coming back. Kevin, they don't have a ton of talent returning, and that makes the situation kind of tough, too.
Well, essentially, his entire recruiting class from 2 years ago is gone.
Yeah.
I mean, he ran most of them off last year, and there's just not anything left from that recruiting class. So you're a whole class missing from 2 years ago. And There's no time to go get that body or those bodies to fill that class now. So you're coming in, and granted, look, the first-year coach is going to get a pass because that's usually the case. The first-year coach is going to get a pass. People are going to relax. And I'll tell you this, if it doesn't involve Ohio State football, Ohio State fans are mixed on how they feel about a lot of things.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like there was going to be a huge amount of pressure on whoever gets this job to go win a national championship in the upcoming year. That isn't going to be the case. But it is not an easy job at the moment. There's a ton of resources there. There's a ton of money there. And you'll get everything you need to be successful at Ohio State. I have no doubt about that. You'll get everything you ask for. Except what you're not going to get right out of the gate is an overwhelming interest from the fan base. That's a football school. We all know that. And sometimes football schools are hard to sell on basketball. Now, if you start winning, we've seen it at Ohio State, they will come and they'll come out in droves, but you got to prove it to them and pique their interest.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Nebraska at the Devaney Center. You didn't really get a lot of interest in them until they started winning, and then they moved over to Pinnacle Bank Arena and they could win there, and now the arena has kind of kept the crowds in even when the hoops hasn't been there yet.
Yeah, what is sorry, and I keep saying we're going to talk to, like, the doing a game at Ohio State, what's crowd like? What's the average crowd like for a basketball game in January or February?
I mean, it's
okay.
The three-fourths full.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
It's okay. It is not, and I'm not going to come on here and say, oh gosh, it's the greatest crowd, because it's not. It's,
yeah.
Their football crowds are fantastic. Their basketball crowds are okay.
Right.
I mean, they're fans who are not particular. I mean, they're not going to be going nuts about basketball. Basketball is, you know, at Ohio State, a lot of ways, what it was and has been in Lincoln for a lot of years, a nice distraction until spring football starts.
Right.
And then you can start thinking about what's going to happen with Urban Meyer's team. That's the up. There's an upside to that and a downside to being a basketball coach at a football school.
Kevin Cougar's my guest. Okay, so Greg McDermott decides to stay. I'm curious what your big takeaway is. I mean, I think the saying of don't mess with happy, man. I mean, if you're happy, embrace it, maintain it. I got to imagine that this decision to stay was more about being happy here at Creighton than any sort of trepidation with Ohio State, right? Like, I guess the floor is yours. How did the decision land for you?
I'm a big believer in listening. I am a big believer in if somebody comes to you with a job offer or an opportunity, you listen. It's harder to do that when you're a high-profile basketball coach or football coach because everybody knows that you're listening. You know, if somebody comes and talks to Kevin Kugler or Nick Baugh, it's not going to get headlines. You know, there's not going to be somebody tracking the plane that we fly to wherever to go talk to somebody about a gig. But that's obviously the case when you're a basketball coach or football coach at a high Division I level, is that people are going to be tracking that. So first and foremost, I believe you always listen to it and you see, all right, what's the situation? Is it going to be great? I think what has happened here is Greg McDermott has really given a nice endorsement to what Bruce Rasmussen and Creighton have because he listened. I know that any job at Ohio State is going to pay more than the job at Creighton.
Yes.
So it's not an issue of Ohio State came in and said, we'll pay you $800,000 a year. I'm sure there were seven figures. There were crooked numbers. There was a lot of commas. There was plenty in the money. He could have played golf even more than he does now, which, by the way, as I mentioned, is a lot. He plays a lot of golf. But other than that, I really think it is one of those situations where he looked at what he has at Creighton and he looked at what he could have had at Ohio State. And I think you weigh in everything, your family's happiness, your job status, the people you work for, the fans that you have. And I think in his mind, that column weighed heavier for Creighton. And that's a real nice endorsement for what Creighton has built from a basketball standpoint. And now look, if Creighton's still in the Valley, you're not keeping Mac in this situation.
Right.
So the move to the Big East really helped the fact that you keep a wanted head coach because you're in a major conference for basketball now.
Totally agree. I mean, you think about how many college basketball coaches and programs would kill to have a great culture in place, to have an identity and a brand that you can easily sell and is fun and be a program that wins. Like, Mac has, like, you check all those boxes. And so sometimes I think we just underrate maybe the human element of some of these jobs. It's not all about dollars, like a bigger paycheck and a better perceived job at the end of the day.
Well, and here's the other thing. You have to take note. There's no way you don't pay attention to what people are thinking about you in a job. And while I don't believe that's a defining factor as to whether or not you take a job, somebody had to let him know, I would think, that there were a lot of folks, at least in message board land, that were none too excited about the prospect of Greg McDermott being their head coach. And I'm sorry, if you're walking into a place that is not, that basketball is not number one on the list anyway, and you are looking at something from a fan, and the fans are unhappy about you coming in to begin with,
mm-hmm.
you're behind the eight ball to start to a certain degree. So I really do think that while that's not a major factor, if somebody let him know, that at least plays a little bit in the, because it wouldn't be,
yeah.
It's playing my mind. It,
absolutely.
Like, okay, this is a place where basketball is not king, and the fans, at least the vocal ones, who in some athletic departments drive the ship a lot more than they should, and I'm not saying that's the case at Ohio State. I doubt that it is,
yeah.
Because they've got enough to just say, all right, we'll deal with it, go away. But in a lot of places, that makes a difference. And to me, if I'm a coach and I hear that as I'm deciding between job A and job B and I already have reservations, that's something that would make me go, okay, well, maybe this is not the great fit.
And oh, by the way, you aren't going to be very good next year with your roster. So there's that on,
right.
You know, there's
yeah.
also that layer.
And by the way, Creighton has a chance to be pretty good
yeah.
next year.
Yes.
Obviously they'd be better if they'd had a, you know, Justin Patton around,
yep.
but they're
yep.
still going to be pretty good basketball team.
So what do you think's next for Ohio State?
Well, here's where if they could somehow pull Holtman out of Butler
yeah.
and convince him to take that job, I'll, you know, kind of take the path of that Mata a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be a great hire for them. I don't know that that would be a hire that would get the message board guy any more excited.
No.
But I know you've been around him a
yeah,
lot.
He's outstanding.
He's an outstanding coach, a terrific guy, and is a guy who would do a really good job there and knows that area well.
Right.
So that, I think, is a big underrated factor in this job is you've got to know that area. There's a lot of talent out there. And if you've got connections out there, it could be a pretty decent place for you to go get talent. We've seen Ohio State be good before, obviously. Thad Mata has some really good basketball teams there. You can get talent to Columbus, Ohio. It's been proven in football. It can happen in basketball,
yeah.
too, with the right guys. And I think Coach Holtman would be a really interesting hire and a guy who I think could make that jump from, and I won't say mid-major anymore because they're not, but he's succeeded at Butler. You could
yep.
succeed at Ohio State, too.
Kevin Cooley's my guest. Kevin, I want to ask you about Bob Stoops. Who, out of nowhere yesterday, geez, we just got a whole bunch of coaching stuff going on, where he announces all of a sudden, boom, he is retiring from Oklahoma. And, you know, the snarky, jerk store, cynical media side of me raises an eyebrow and says, so you're just retiring out of nowhere at kind of a young age. But, I mean, he says that he was always worried about stress and wants to go live life, and if that's the case, then I absolutely respect it. Your reaction to the news coming out of Norman, Oklahoma, that Bob Stoops is done?
Well, I was surprised like everybody else. I mean, that came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And it certainly felt like a situation in which he wanted to make sure that the guy that everybody wanted to have the job was going to be the guy who got the job in Lincoln Riley. I mean, you time it this way for a variety of reasons, one of which is so that you have a little bit more control over who's getting the gig. And it doesn't seem like there was any reluctance either way for anybody to hire Lincoln Riley as the new head coach. But I tip my cap to it. And I always have wondered this, and it doesn't surprise me to see it starting. I think we'll see it more. The more money you pay head coaches and the more stress that these guys have on their lives, at some point, for some of these guys, they're going to be like, you know what? I got enough. I'm
yeah,
good.
That's a great point.
I got millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars in the bank. I don't want to deal with this crap anymore. I don't want to deal with distracted kids trying to get through to them who hold my paycheck in their mouth. I don't want to deal with the fan who's grumbling because I lost in the national championship game, even though we had a great season. I don't want to deal with that anymore. I don't need that stress. I've got great kids. I've got grandkids. I mean, whatever the thing is, I got houses all over the country. I'm just going to go. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to consult. Maybe 3 or 4 years from now, I'll dip my toe back in the waters at a school that would be happy if I went 9-4 and call it good.
That's a great point. It's a really good point. And you know what? Yeah, you see certain guys and just the stress of it all, and it wears on them. And you know, if you got enough money in the bank and you feel good and you also feel like you can help out your buddy, a la what Bo Ryan did with Greg Gard, kind of a deal, like, yep. Then I get it. Have you ever been around Lincoln Riley, by the way?
I have not. I've never had the chance to be around him. I feel woefully underaccomplished in my life looking at him at 33 years old, head coach of Oklahoma. I mean, it's enough to make you just go,
wow,
well,
yeah.
I'm a failure. I'm the worst thing that's ever happened. Maybe I'll just go somewhere and ride away on the back of a motorcycle and never be seen again, because this dude, 33 years old, and he's one of the running one of the great college football programs in the history of the sport. So good for him, and terrible for all of us who are past the age of 33 and really accomplished a bag of nothing in our lives.
Oh, and by the way, maybe you'll get a Los Angeles Rams game this year, and you'll see their head coach, who's like, what is he, like 16? I mean, he's like the Doogie Howser of head coaches.
The long list of people who are younger than me that have accomplished entirely more than me is too long for me to even think about.
Right.
So I now just focus on the fact that I'm living day to day, meal to meal, and I've got food on the table every night. I feel good about that.
That's okay. You know what? That ain't half bad. Yeah. That is not half bad. Kevin Kugler, killed it, buddy. Perfect stuff today. Really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Have a nice day. Goodbye.
You got it. Kevin Kugler. That was awesome. That was awesome. He can speak to a lot of different sides of a lot of different things here with the Ohio State situation, with the McDermott situation. That was awesome. That was fantastic. 402-951-1620. So we're wide open in the 1 o'clock hour as of right now. We get to 3 and out. I got to catch my breath. Today's one of those days. I need like a beer after the show or something like that. Game time.